Do we have a scripture reader this morning? Maybe not. Does anybody want to volunteer? Josh, come on up.
All right, please join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, open our minds to your eternal word and fill our hearts with reverent, awe-filled thanksgiving. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers of powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Our second scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 26 to 27, and then 32 to 43. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the others rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Let us pray. Gracious God, may your Spirit help us as we try to hear your word for us individually and as a church here today. Amen. I am want to say a word or two in awareness of the sadness and the loss in the Auger family. I heard it both ways yesterday at the funeral service for Pierre's mother. And as I was preparing the sermon during the week, and then yesterday the priest who did a wonderful job with the service, he talked about paradise in a way, and here it is today. In our scripture, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And it is a good thing. I have to say I especially liked it when the priest yesterday talked about going south as paradise, being a southerner that I am. And also, he mentioned Thanksgiving, I think, and meals together and so forth. And that was always a very special moment for me, an ordinary meal becoming something very extraordinary. So we have, and this scripture is really about something ordinary becoming extraordinary. And as I will say, I understood Pierre's mother was a woman who, in some ways, an ordinary woman who was also very extraordinary. And I just know we are with Pierre and the family, Jill, in Corinne and Mark especially. I will offer up a prayer during our prayers for the people, for them, and we can participate in that. Yeah. But our scripture today is about sort of turning ordinary space into sacred space. And Luke, as I've studied these scriptures as we've gone through these scriptures for the last 2 or 3 months now of Luke, how Luke is developing this. I've seen things that I hadn't seen before, and I've looked at these scriptures many times. But today it's very interesting in this scripture from Luke that Luke describes, as I've said, I think I've used this before, a social space. And he specifically uses a word, topos, which is Greek for place, like topographical, a place, topos. And this Luke versus other people, he says, they took Jesus to a place called the Skull. There's a place you can go to in Jerusalem, and you can sit in the bus as you're waiting to catch a bus somewhere, and you look, and there's some rocks there that look like a skull. And some people say, well, that's it.
place of the skull, but it was a place of death. Whether it looked like a skull or not, it was the place where people were taken to be crucified, a place of death. And this is a regular place. People go there, and in a social space, in sociology, the actions that take place, the interactions between people that take place are regularized, as we would say. You know what to expect when you enter into this kind of space. People know their roles, they know the rules, they know the lines they are supposed to say. And I included in our scripture for this week, I included some of the earlier things, Simon of Cyrene going to this place, also carrying the cross, helping Jesus carry the cross. We have the women wailing. This is part of their role as people entered into this space. And then two others also who were criminals. This is a little bit of a strange translation because Luke really is saying two other criminals. Luke is including Jesus as a criminal versus some of the other gospels. But in this social space called the skull, there is an audience, a great audience of people watching this event unfold. And it's not Easter, but it's Reign of Christ Sunday, and we are here to witness to the reign of Christ. We see the audience there, the people watching, witnessing. We see the moral leaders there mocking him, shaming him. They're like the prosecution in a courtroom. We see the criminal justice officials, the Roman soldiers, watching over this event. The skull, when Luke says they went to a place called the skull, it was everybody knew. Hearing this many years ago, Luke was saying this is a shaming place. A place where order, social order was reaffirmed, restored, and someone who had violated some boundaries was shamed. Topos, skull. At this place, Jesus went to this place, this space of interaction, and it was a place where Jesus could be controlled, suppressed. The leaders, we shall shame him for his ideas. We shall shame him. We shall treat him like a common criminal, like the other criminals. And as Jesus takes his spot in the shaming place, as the cross is raised, Luke shows right away that Jesus will not play the role of the common criminal in this shaming place. Jesus confesses, does not confess like the leaders want him to. When you go to the shaming place and you're dying, you are to confess, essentially, I'm sorry I did what I did. But instead, Luke has Jesus saying, this is unbelievable. Must have irritated the heck out of them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At some point in my spiritual walk, I realized how important this was. Jesus forgave them. Nobody had confessed anything. Nobody had asked him for anything or done anything. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. The accused, Jesus, shows he is the one in control. He is not controlled. On Reign of Christ Sunday, we are reminded that Christ is the one who has the right to accuse each one of us, to judge each one of us. And yet, in this passage, we are reminded that we serve a king that delivers mercy, proclaims forgiveness. A major twist in the storyline, it broke apart this place, is not what's supposed to happen in the shaming place. The one who is being shamed does not have the right to forgive, but yet he does. The one who has the right to shame instead forgives. He understands. And I was looking at this and I was so moved by this. Dare I say it, he accepts these frail, broken people that are out there. The people who had failed him in this time of opportunity, they failed in their opportunity to see, to feel, to unite with something greater than themselves. They failed. Completely failed. Yet grace flooded into this shaming space in spite of their failure. It is the beauty of the Christian message that God's love empowers us. We do not come to God in hopes that God will forgive us. God forgives us, and this allows us to become a new creation. And Luke tells us that at least one person in this shaming place recognized what was happening. It was one of the criminals on the cross there. And this criminal, he confesses not to the religious leaders, but to Jesus. And he proclaims from his own cross, I saw this, Jesus went to a place, and the criminal says he is atopos, he is out of place. Jesus is not in the shaming place. He is atopos. Jesus is not the one to be ashamed. We should be ashamed. Jesus is not a criminal. We are. But yet we are criminals whom Jesus is not judging, but recognizing our failures, just as so many criminals, even in our own day and age, are people who have grown up in broken lives and need understanding at least as much as accountability. We are all weak human beings. And because this criminal recognized that Jesus was this kind of presence of God, that Jesus says to the criminal, he is entering paradise because he understands that God is a God of love who forgives us and loves us and can keep us in all situations. This word for paradise was a way in the time of Christ of saying Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, today you are, will be in full communion with God, which is when we go to funerals and we say you are entering into communion, into the presence of God. We are walking like Adam and Eve in communion with God. As I've talked about time and place so much in these past few weeks, that in this time, in this place, in this ordinary time, in this ordinary place, Jesus is just a criminal. He's worthy of being shamed. He had dared to violate all the social order norms of his day. And when we do the work of Christ, we too also can violate many norms. See, Jesus went around letting people off the hook and calling them to new life. Jesus went around helping people not feel shame, but helping them feel worthy and whole. Jesus went around finding people who were enslaved to sin and delivering them. Jesus was disrespectful of all the proper authorities, yet Jesus is the one who saves us. But hear the good news. In Jesus, the shaming place that we live in, all those things that make us feel like we are not worthy, less than human, they become something more. In Jesus, our shaming space, our shaming places, become sacred places. And in a sacred place, we can be transformed because God hears our deepest needs, our deepest feelings, and our deepest pains. For God knows we are frail, searching, ordinary human beings. And instead of being reminded of this, we are told and invited to become children of God. So, with Jesus, we can say, "Forgive us, merciful God, for so often we don't know what we are doing. Forgive us, merciful God, for so often we don't know what we are doing. Heal us and make us whole beings. Help us to live full lives in sacred time and in sacred space. For what we see is not the whole story. Let Christ reveal this other side, this other dimension of sacredness. And let us this week be thankful that we serve a God who can make these things happen. Amen." I don't know if this is a familiar tune, is it? Good. Hymn number 16, "Let Us With a Joyful Mind." Seated. Our prayers of the people today, I certainly want to lift up first that we keep in prayer the Auger family, and there's during a special time of loss. Are there other prayers to offer for people? Prayers of thanksgiving or anything?
I'd like to celebrate my excitement for this Thanksgiving week. We have two aunts that are coming to stay with us from Canada for part of the week, and my dear friend Sarah, Alex, and Amelia will be up and staying a night with us as well. So prayers that everyone has, everyone all around has safe travels and a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you.
A friend of mine whose whole family lives in Long Island, her niece, who was recently married, they were expecting their firstborn, and last week the baby was stillborn. So the whole family is in a state of shock. So special praise for the whole family. On a lighter side, praise of thanks for me. Despite a lot of distractions, my father's death, transitioning my Jesse to Gainesville, Florida, which involved a 2.5-day car ride, and she says, you know, she settled very, very nicely in Gainesville. She's coming home next week. Despite all that stuff, I was still able to complete 12 marathons. So I'm very thankful for that.
Arnie's 12 marathons this year, and how many total now? 155 marathons. So.
I think we should certainly keep the people of the Philippines in our minds as they suffer through, you know, yet more agony in terms of their cleanup and so forth. Similarly, the victims of the tornadoes that came through last week. And finally, and perhaps it's a week too late, the Methodist Church in Pennsylvania, who struggled with some of the same issues that the Presbyterian Church has and hasn't quite come down in the sight of modernity, if nothing else.
I'll be traveling to Vancouver for a week and a half, so for the Thanksgiving break, just prayers for a good trip. And
yeah. We'll miss you. We'll be back. How long do you get to stay? Oh, great. Blessings on you.
I'd like to ask for continued prayers of concern from my friend and coworker, Becca, and just gratitude for the support that she's receiving from her family, and prayers that I can continue to be positive and supportive for my friend. Prayers also for my friend Beth's sister, Wendy, who has ovarian cancer, and my friend Joan, whose mother died suddenly and who is grieving, and for all who grieve.
I think we should keep the Middle East in our prayers. And hope that the agreement signed overnight opens a new door, that peace may come to that region of the world. The road will not be straight, it never is. But let us pray and hope that this is on the path to peace.
This was fairly late last night, I think, that something happened, right? Some agreement with Iran regarding the nuclear. So, anyone else?
Prayers of celebration for my very good friend Austin and his husband Dana. Park and I were honored to be part of their wedding earlier this week, and just can't be happier for the two of them as they continue their life together. And also wanted to share that my parents were able to have dinner with Carl and Catherine in New Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And unfortunately, we haven't been in church since then. And just they were so pleased with how well Carl and Catherine are settling in New Mexico. And so continued prayers for our extended family.
A prayer for the celebration of the life of Jean Ann Nelson, a cousin of my husband's. She passed away a week ago on Sunday. She's had health problems all of her life, so she was only 57 years old. She leaves behind a 17-year-old son, and she was separated from her husband at the time, and he apparently is in hospice as well. So her son is going to go live with cousins, so I really pray for him. At age 17, in a way, losing both of his parents. And a prayer of celebration that I was hired back at the preschool that I had been let go from. It'll be a little bit different. I'm going to be working 2 days a week with the 3-year-olds instead of 3 days a week with the 4-year-olds. So, got that? But it should be exciting, and I'm glad to be going back there. And this will happen after Thanksgiving.
What was your friend's name, Ellen, again?
It's Tom's cousin. Her name is Jean Ann Nelson.
Jean Ann?
Nelson.
Okay. I'd like to extend a prayer of concern for the son of some friends of ours, Ian, who's 13 years old, but has had anxiety and mental health issues that at one point required hospitalization. Sounds like he is on the mend, but continuing prayers for his recovery. And I'd also like to pray for the homeless, especially when this cold weather and winter descends upon us, that they may find shelter in the storm.
There was a very interesting program on when I got up this morning at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Did you see? One of us saw it, at least, other than myself. But it's an incredible story. You can go online, and there's a story about homelessness in the Carolinas and the response in Columbia and Raleigh. And I saw it was a very well done little analysis of things. So I invite you to look at that.
I'd like to ask for prayers for the family of Jen Cabral. She was a young girl that was a member of the Rainbow Girls with my girls, and her mom found her early Saturday morning. She had passed away, 34 years of age. She's a young mom, so I'm sure they'll need our blessings and prayers, you know, to get through this holiday season, not to mention the fact.
Her name was Jan or Jen? Jan?
Jennifer. Jennifer Cabral, okay. Yeah.
Okay. A colleague of mine who, up in the Merrimack Valley, her son committed suicide this week, and I just so pray for their family, Vicky and David's son.
When you said the suicide, right down the street from me this week in Arlington, that young family that the father took the mother and the 1-year-old baby's life in his own, with tremendous sadness and blessings and healing for that family.
You know, we're talking about, this is all related. People who get caught up in the world can kill people in all kinds of ways. And even in that story this morning, did I hear correctly, Sarah, that 58,000 homeless veterans or something, some figure like that, I thought I heard something. So, you know, we support this veterans network down here, and these things are very important. So Anything else? Anybody else? There's a lot today. And I know there's still more. Laura? Randy?
I just wanted to just have some thanksgiving for, I know that a lot of us are away studying here in Boston, and just thankful for this community and how, you know, lovingly welcomed us all. And I think that, you know, I'm not the only one who feels that way. So I'm just thankful for this community, and I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving in the Boston area this year. So I'm looking forward to celebrating with
this year. You're here. Okay. All right. Well, we're happy to have you here, Laura, and all the Fletcher students and anyone else who shows up. And how many Fletcher students are here today? Three? More than three? At least three. We've probably had 10 show up this fall. So anyway, and Sarah's our second week with us, and welcome again to be here with us. So, what else? So, James, I think. All right. Before I say prayers for all these folks, and maybe it's a long list today, but my church that I was at in Lawrence, it was a smaller chapel kind of thing, and so everybody could kind of stand up and circle around somebody who'd had a loss, and I won't make the Ogiers do that today, but I do want to say a prayer for Pierre's mother, Teresa. Did I say that correctly, or Therese? Okay. Passed away this week, and instead of us all gathering around or something like that, I'm just wondering if we could all sort of turn toward the Ogier family and lift your hand of blessing, if you don't mind. I'd love to, everybody could do that while we pray a quick prayer for them before we go into the others. So let us pray.
Gracious God, give us your blessings upon this family. Please keep them in your loving hands. You are the God of all mercies and giver of comfort. Look graciously, we pray, on those who mourn, but casting all their care on you, they may know the consolation of your love for Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are the God of boundless compassion. Our only sure comfort in distress. Look tenderly upon Pierre and Jill, Corinne and Mark, and the whole family. May be overwhelmed by loss and sorrow. Lighten their darkness with your presence, and assure them of your love. Enable them to see beyond this place and this time to your eternal kingdom. Promise you all the love.
Let us, and it's hard for me to imagine this today after all these things that have been said, but for all those prayers left unsaid, let us together say amen. So let us pray. Gracious God, we lift up all these people to you, and we are thankful that we are a community that cares for people, and help sustain us in that effort. Help us to be a community that prays for others and reaches out to others more and more. We thank you, gracious God, for this upcoming Thanksgiving week. We pray that our gathering of family and friends will be good. And for anyone who has no place to go, help them to find a good place and to feel welcome. We pray for those who have experienced losses. We pray for families that have lost children. These difficult times, a hoped-for life cut short. We pray for all the people who have lost so much in the Philippines and in the Midwest. Gracious God, we pray for folks battling cancer like Becca, and we thank you that that Liz is able to be there and be supportive. Please help her to be whole in every way possible and in the ways that really matter. And sustain Liz in her care. Gracious God, we pray for all the conflicts around the world. We pray for the Middle East and Iran. Please may your spirit be at work in this, that the peacemakers will truly be blessed. We thank you for new marriages, for Austin and Dana. We thank you for our friends, Carl and Catherine, who have been such an important part of this community and led this community. Please bless them in their new lives. Gracious God, we pray for Jean Ann, who has passed away. Please help her son. Gracious God, we pray for Ian, the 13-year-old who's battling anxiety and mental health problems. We pray for those who are battling, who are thinking of suicide, or the families who are grieving after a suicide. We ask your blessings upon them. Gracious God, we pray for the family of Jennifer Cabral, who suddenly died. Please be with their family and give them a sense of peace as much as possible about this. We pray for safe travels for those in our community and around us. We pray that Kevin will have a wonderful time with his family. We pray for all the people around us and in our extended community. Please bless us all as we seek to do thy will. Help us to be a church that reaches out more and more to practice justice and peace. Help us to be a place of grace, a place of forgiveness, a place of mercy. These things we all pray in the name of Christ, our Savior, who forgave us from the cross. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Announcements today. We have all kinds of things. I hope you all got the announcement sheet also.
About the decorating of the church after worship next Sunday, if people are interested in hanging around and doing that, we have a couple of options of different ways we decorate it. So if people are interested and want to just discuss that after church today, then we'll have our plan and set for next week, look forward to the Advent season. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, Sarah is our clerk of session also, so just we have newer people here.
Today is nominally the deadline for the Advent meditations to be. I will accept them as late as Wednesday by email or hand-delivered, however you care to. And there's one or two openings, so if you haven't written one and you want to participate, we can talk about that.
How many are left? Only two? Oh, we're in good. Huh? Is that including me, or is that? Oh, wow, awesome. If somebody does one, then I don't have to do one, so come on. This Advent thing, we've been doing this for how many years now, is it? What year is this? 15, 20? I think I've got, I don't know how far back they go. I think I've got the first one in there, so we can figure it out. But Ruth.
On the back of the yellow insert this morning, there's information about the fellowship potluck. It's been a while since we've had a potluck, so we are hoping for a big bash. And we really appreciate that Josh and Jenny are willing to host all of us. So on the 14th, we'll be going to have a potluck. And it, for those of you who'd be interested in going ahead of time to see zoo lights, this is something that Diane and Solomar have brought to us. It's apparently a whole lot of fun, lots of kids, but for kids of all ages. So more information on the back here. If you would like a ride, I know that there are a lot of people who are students or who don't drive at night. We'd be most happy to organize carpooling from the church here or come and pick you up. So just let me know after service.
Yes, please don't feel like you have to be have been here for years to be able to do these things. So, and I want to tell you, Masebo will be going to Zoo Lights, so that will make it very worthwhile. He will enjoy it, and you will enjoy watching him enjoy it. So, okay.
Just also in the inserts, we have the Christmas tree up. So it's back here in the sanctuary. This year we are sponsoring two families. This is through Somerville Early Head Start. So we have a mom with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and then we have another mom with a 1-year-old. So we got a list from them of things that they would like for Christmas. Both these families are living in shelters this year. So they're homeless. So you can pick a tag. There's instructions down here about what you need to do. And we need the gifts back by December 15th. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me after the service.
Right. We have a special music concert coming up on Thursday, December 5th, and I'm announcing it this week because I know a lot of people might be out of town next week. The concert actually has a title. It's Old and New from Far and Near. And it features Renaissance instruments, the viola da gamba and the viola di amore. These are instruments that aren't in common use any longer, but there are composers still composing music for them. There is going to be a selection of Renaissance music performed, so it'll be ancient music and modern music mixed on this concert, interspersed playing on these ancient instruments. It ought to be really interesting. Performers are coming from Italy for this, so should be a really interesting concert. Hope everyone can make it.
Thank you. Okay. Is there a focus on mission this morning? Randy, were you going to talk this morning or not? I forgot. Tom Kepler took his place last week, so I've surprised him with. You don't have to do it today.
Okay.
So
well, I don't have anything prepared, so that would be good.
Okay, all right. Maybe we've done. Oh, all right. Well, no, I didn't know. I didn't know what. Yes.
Among my earliest memories as a kid was attending a Presbyterian church with my mother and father. By the time I hit junior high, I was singing in the choir. This is kind of a common theme as we move locations. Part of the tie is the music of the church. I am every so often blindsided by this current hymnal because they changed the words when they wrote this one from the old familiar hymns that I have sung for many, many years. I won't admit to how many. But the other piece of the journey is that this is a way of always finding a community. And first in upstate New York and then at the College of Worcester. And then as we wandered various places, Dayton, Ohio, Oshawa, Ontario, Melbourne, Australia, and then back to Brooklyn, New York. We were longest in Brooklyn, and that was a tremendously important, that church, First Presbyterian Brooklyn, was a tremendously important influence in our family life. That's where we raised our kids. That's where I dragged Bill into the choir with me. And so when we moved to Boston, we then began the journey again. And it's not necessarily a short journey to find the right fit. But after a certain amount of muddling around in Boston, we ended up here. And if we move on somewhere else, we'll begin the journey again. This is a very central piece of my life and my family's life. And it's centered around having a community that is nurturing. And you find the place you fit in the right time, and we currently are here.
Thank you, Sarah, and we're glad you're here, you and Bill. So, let us now take up an offering for the work of this church and the church in the wider world.
Thank you.
is your faithfulness, O God, Creator. With you no shadow of turning we see. You do not change your compassions, they fail. Sin a peace so enduring. It's all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness.